Hello, Yes But Why listeners. This is your host, Amy Jordan. Welcome to Yes But Why, episode 274, my conversation with improviser Sadat Venkatesh. But first, let's talk about our sponsors. Yes But Why podcast is sponsored by Audible. Sign up today for your 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. You get a free audiobook download as well as access to hundreds of books and podcasts. Go now to audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy to sign up and get your account today. Yes But Why podcast is also brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. PodcastCadet.com is the company that my husband Chris and I run to help podcasters. We want to help you start or improve your podcast. Just let us know what we can do. Mention code YBY20 and you'll get 20% off the first service or workshop you buy. We can help. PodcastCadet.com. Yes But Why podcast is also brought to you by True Hemp Science. True Hemp Science is the HC Universal Network's resource for vegan-friendly whole plant extract CBD oil. Check out TrueHempScience.com to see all the CBD products available to you now. Use code YesButY7 to get 7% off your order of $50 or more. You get all the therapeutic goodness of CBD, plus you'll get a free packet of 2 yummy CBD edibles with your order. TrueHempScience.com. This week on Yes But Why, I spoke to Sadat Venkatesh, improv performer and community leader at Improv Comedy Bangalore. In this episode, we gab about acting, playing music, and the opportunity to take classes from improv greats from all over the world. I now present Yes But Why, episode 274, Sadat Venkatesh on Craving the Chaos of Creativity. Enjoy! I'm Amy Jordan, and this is Yes But Why Podcast. Yeah! What kind of a creative kid were you? Were you performing for your family or were you drawing? What was your sort of artistic style as a child?
As far as I can remember, except it's way back. So I remember a lot of, playmaking scenarios. Like you basically, say that you're a doctor or something and playing amongst ourselves, because I remember when I was, so initially when I was born, I used to live with my grandparents, and after 3 or 4 years, we shifted out to another city, like me and my parents, and at that point of time, we used to live in an apartment, and we had so many children. I just remember like, every evening, it would be like around 25, 30 children who we just play random things. We are making up these stories, we are having fun. And that is integrated with, say, playing hide and seek and playing so many other things. But that was what I remember initially, because I don't remember me being more, specifically being inclined in a drawing or anything of that sort. But I do remember these instances of creating stories amongst ourselves and having a whole lot of fun and almost like role playing.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, natural for kids. But yeah, that's what I mainly remember when I was young.
Yeah, I feel that. We used to pretend we'd watch a movie and then we'd be that movie. Right? Like we'd spend a week after seeing a movie. We'd be like, I'm Ferris Bueller. I'm dancing. And I was like, I remember it was like third grade or something. And me and a couple of friends of mine who happened to be a bit, theatrical with me, there was like a little raised stage area and we would go there and do our shows for no one, for just ourselves.
Yeah. and I also remember, what I also remember is that for some unique reason, we used to pretend play, like, so we have these public transport auto rickshaws. I don't know if people know about that, but, you know, they're basically three-wheelers, and they'll ferry you across town. We used to, for whatever I and some of my friends used to pretend play that one of us was the driver and the other two were the passengers or some. And I have no reason why I did that, but it's just that it was so fun because it was something that you observed on the road when you were playing or something and just incorporated that. I want this experience for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. No, I think, yeah, that's classic. I mean, taxi driver, somebody's driving you. Yeah, there's like a different vibe, you know? Yeah, no, it's great. It's like the next level of play. Like now it's status play. Like it's like that guy's a stranger from us. And it makes like a difference between the vibes and stuff like that. Yeah, interesting. I like the specific role playing scenarios that that you're recalling in your life. Did you ever do like organized acting in school or anything like that? Were you involved in any performance?
So my thing was more, I think it was like a coincidence or whatever you can call it, because I remember when we were in fourth or fifth grade. By that point of time, by the way, every story I'm telling, I'm in a different city because we were sort of always moving around.
Oh, yeah, you moved a lot.
Yeah, like almost every 3 or 4 years, once of sorts.
Yeah.
So at that point of time, also, I was in Bangalore, where I am right now. And I remember that we had our headmistress come in and say that there are these film people and they want to have all of you, all the children of, you know, 2-3 classes in one of the scenes, because and eventually what it was is we didn't realize, we just went for the fun of it, but eventually what it was you know, so the actress, the female actor in the film was bidding, she was some sort of either a teacher or something of that sort, and she was bidding by to all her students, so they needed 100 students. That's the reason they came to our school, and you know, they just took people in. What happened was, for whatever reason, I was not either well that day or I didn't go. I don't know how things happened after that, but one thing led to the other. And then I got called in for some people from the same movie setting, like assistant producer or whatever, I don't know. Some of them actually came into the school for getting people audition for a TV series about children, you know, and they just took me. I don't know what they saw, but they just took me and a few other kids. And at the end of that day of, it was not like a proper audition as much as it was of we just doing what they told us to, in terms of if you're angry with your friend, what would you do? And you needed to act it out. Or if you were sad that you, one of your friends took away your food, how would you act it out? And so they were giving these scenarios to us and we were just playing it out. And then I was told that I am a part of it. And, I was excited that one of my close friends was also with me. So that was my only excitement, that we would probably have to cut school and go and have fun. And that TV series was for, I think, 13 episodes. And that's how I, without any background of acting, I just acted.
How old were you?
This was around fifth grade.
Oh, wow. So like, 10?
Something like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Crazy.
And then,
so what was the show about?
I was playing, my friend whom I told you about, he was like the main character of the show. And the show was him writing in his diary, reminiscing about stuff that happens in his life. you know, but as a young kid, obviously, both of us were young. So he starts writing, and then he thinks, oh, this happened. And like a flashback, and me and him and other people, our friends, our parents, whoever were, you know, as a part of that, come in and enact that out. So it was basically a story of two kids. And I was sort of the, he was more sort of placid and whatever, and I was the naughty one, and I used to make all the, you know, always get us into trouble. But personality-wise, we were just opposite, because I never used to do that. And he was the one who was always creating trouble. So, yeah, it was real fun for many, many weeks.
Wow. What a fun thing. Did you like, what was the name of the show?
So his character was called Perky, P-A-R-K-Y or something. So the show was called Perky's Diary, something as simple as that.
Perky's Diary?
Yeah. So I'm not sure there's anything available online, because this was the times of VHS tapes and all that stuff.
Sure. I mean, did it like get out there? Was it like they made it to sell it? Was it on TV?
Oh, yeah. For 13 weeks. And in fact, after that, you know, we started garnering, me and him especially, started garnering a lot of attention in our school and even like random places we went to. And especially among relatives, because, you know, so that show was in our local language, Kannada. As well. It was a mix of like, you know, the English, Kannada sort of a thing. And yeah, so most of my relatives, even now after like 30, 28 or whatever years, when I meet some relatives, they still tell me about that. I was like, oh God, that's a different thing. Just don't talk about it.
But man, what a wild adventure to be like on a television show as a kid, like, and just get like, you know, I feel like that happened a lot. I don't know how old you are. I'm 42. But like, great. So like, I feel like that happened a lot to kids that were in our generation, right? Like, I feel like everywhere when I was growing up, it was like, they just found him in a mall. Like, what was it? What was it? Like the kid in Terminator 2, they're like, they just found him in a mall. I'd just go to malls hoping somebody would check me out. I like didn't shop ever. I would just go to be like, who's casting? Which I feel like is terrible. Terrible idea. But, you know, it happened a lot. I feel like that the idea of this where, you know, I'm sure it seemed insane in your life, but like the idea that they were like, all right, listen, we need to cast some kids. Where are kids? Kids are at school. Let's go to the school. Like, great. So fun. Like, wow. Gosh, what a wild like situation to have in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the fact that none of us were trained. So basically what now when you look back, so the probably what was they were looking for, obviously not trained actors, but people who could just play out scenarios, you know, that inherent playfulness is what they were probably looking at. And the reason I told you that we were, you know, when I was early in childhood, we were playing all these scenarios out, is I don't know. It felt at one point is somewhere that is connected. I mean, obviously, after so many years, when you think about it, you try to make these connections.
Yeah.
But yeah. Otherwise, anybody take an untrained, you know, few people and just make a show out of them. That's just risky, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a cool situation that you got yourself involved in. I like that. You know, you're right. As older people, we definitely go back and like create a story of our own lives. But, you know, I mean, to be honest, like, I'm fine with that. And also, like, here's the other thing. If we are, you and I specifically, are creative people whose mind is attuned to storytelling, then like, hey, man, take the good times. You're good at it. Make it sound good, right? I retell my life story and it sounds amazing. I was like, it didn't feel that great. It's been relatively fine. But I'm making it sound awesome. You're like, and then, and they're like, oh my God, another thing happened to you. And I was like, I haven't even gotten to my teens. You know, it's like, same with you. We haven't even gotten to your teens and you're in a television show, a hit television show. People are still talking about it.
Yeah. So actually what happened is after that, I got a couple of opportunities, which was very, from the first show that I acted on, the dialogue, the person who was scripting dialogues or whatever, he sort of branched out as a director. And then he cast me and, another fellow kid actor from our show into a totally different show. Where basically, me and kid actor were brother and sister. And, that was a totally different show. That came for just 5 or 6 episodes, something of that sort. And when all this was happening and, this thing came on TV, and I was just living my life because it was, nothing made sense. It's not as if I was actively looking at it. I was just the kid trying to do stuff and have fun. So I still remember when we were playing, me and my building folks. And this was, I think, 1 or 2 years after that, or 1 year after that. 1 year after we recorded the show, because I think it took some time to come on TV. And when in the middle of when it came on TV, we were playing around, 4 or 5 of us. So randomly, there's this vehicle that comes along, and one guy, the co-passenger of the vehicle, says, "I want to talk to you." And this sounds like something bad is about to happen, and it's like a full template for that. And the conversation that we have is, "Oh, you have been acting in that serial. I have seen you. You do really well. I have got some projects to talk about. Are you okay to do it?" And I'm just a kid of 10, 11 years old. I was like, get lost. I want to go and play. I'm losing this game. I want to win it or whatever. And then he said that, no, I want to really talk to your parents. And these random things used to constantly happen. But I was not sort of looking for it. I was just leading my life. And that's how things went for a year and year and a half. And then one thing that happened was when we were shooting, it used to be really awkward times. It might be midnight sometimes and all that stuff. So my parents weren't totally thrilled about it at all. And so eventually I didn't pursue it actively. And after these couple of instances, things died down in a year or so.
So it was like inconvenient to bring you to these things and they were like not into it.
The production people used to get their own vehicle for us, but the timings were awkward. Like some days I used to be 2 a.m. back at home and, next early morning, 8 a.m., I had to be back at shooting. So that didn't sort of go well with my parents. And they were like, no, this is not for us.
It's definitely a lifestyle choice for sure. For sure. The idea of that kind of stuff. I feel like I feel like literally like scheduling when you sleep is sometimes how cultures divide, like, and by that I mean like theater people and then like 9 to 5 people. Yeah. Like there are some people who are like, listen, I have to be in bed at 9 p.m. and that's it. Yeah. Like I get up at 6. I need to do this. And the other people are like, what's that? You want to film something from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.? Yeah, I'm game. Let's do it. Right. Yeah. But there's sort of a theatrical situation. Like when I'm working on a film project, I love that stuff. I'm like, get me up all night. I want to be up when it's dark. I want to be putting makeup on while the sun's rising, I love it. Get me there early. Let's do something crazy, because it's creative, it's fun in that thing. Yeah, but it is a lifestyle choice. You really have to want it.
Yeah.
Man, that's wild though. You were heading towards being a teen heartthrob and they were like, listen, we're out. You know, you're going to be on TV. Yeah. People are going to be rushing you. Like, oh my God, you're on that show. I'm sure they do, though. Man, that must be really fun. Yeah, like, when some random people come up to you and they're like, I'm really sorry. Can I ask you a question? Are you that guy from the show? Does that happen?
Yeah. At a random place, we were, so me and my family, like my parents and my uncle, we had gone to a temple for some specific, like there's a particular day when some function was happening. So we had all been to the temple and we were having our own good time. And randomly there's this couple of kids who are sort of orbiting me. And I didn't even know that, but you know, like my uncle and all was sort of, I wouldn't say concern might be a strong word, but they was like aware that these kids are just following us. Then eventually, you know, one of them kids came and, you know, he took the courage to tell me that I've seen you and I love that serial and that. And this was just random things that happened that, you know, always used to. And this was way after I had done the shooting because the episodes came out a year later. So I was almost, that was a different part of my life.
Yeah.
And that was almost over because I knew that it's not, but then these small things used to keep on happening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the shows never die. You know, they're still there. And I know you're like, no, I don't think they have it somewhere. Somewhere
they have it, but
somewhere there's a YouTube channel where somebody with a camera and a V8 and a VCR and is just filming it like that. Yeah. Remember back in the, I don't know if you had these, maybe you didn't. Remember the bootleg movies where like a person would film it with a camera at the movie theater and it's like, they're like in the movie theater. Those are so funny.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody is like, yeah, watch the movie like this. I'm like, I'm not watching the movie like this. Who watches the movie like this? This is terrible. The guy's holding it in his hand. It's moving around. Doing this, man.
Yeah,
so there's a bootleg somewhere in your show. We're gonna find it. I'm gonna see if I can't find it.
So because you know, when we were doing the show, I remember these producers of the show that I did, they were sort of famous in the sense they had done two or three other similar shows which had not only episodes, but it had seasons as well. Like it had gone for more than a year. So what we used to do when we were not having anything else to do during shooting was to actually watch some of those shows back. So I'm sure that like how those shows existed on VHS tapes, our shows exist as well. It's just that we don't know about this. That's it.
Yeah. Also, like, where are the VHS tapes?
Now,
I don't know. Every VHS tape I own is currently melted in my garage right now. It's very hot out there and I haven't looked at them in a long time. Also, I don't know. Do I have a VCR? Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, yeah. My husband loves old technology, in case you can't tell from all the insanity behind me. So when your parents said that they weren't interested in being involved in the film schedule and that you really weren't going to do it, were you disappointed or were you just like, okay, like, you know, like you were doing a sport and they were like, yeah, you can't do tennis anymore. And you're like, all right, fine. I'll do something else. How did it feel to you?
Yeah. So I was disappointed for a bit because, you know, I was loving it, but since it was not something I either actively pursued or something that landed on my lap because of me pursuing it, I think it was just cool that it didn't happen. I mean, I didn't sort of think much about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was almost as if this was like a blip in a normal life.
Sure.
That's all it was. So I don't remember. So I remember being initially disappointed because I was not able to meet the entire cast, crew and whatnot, you know, because that feeling is like different. It's like almost a second family. But after that, I think it became normal. Exams came up and you get into school and yeah, it's just normal.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you were moving a lot every few years or whatnot. Do you think your, you know, ability to be, you know, creative and friendly and, you know, meet new people, because, I mean, you're doing filming, which means you're meeting new people all the time. Did that help you because you had the experience of moving around and, you know, every once in a while you're like, hey, new gang at the building, what's up? I'm here. Let's hang out. I got some ideas.
I feel that because maybe not at that point of time. So these were the times when there was no email and stuff, nothing of that sort, right? So you literally I used to lose friends in the sense.
Yeah.
You know, so I used to make friends up and then make friends for when I used to stay and then just lose them in the sense. Yeah. Never, ever. So we used to write those snail mails, but how many can you write? Or, you know, it's so weird. I remember I did that to a couple of people and all, but then it just didn't happen. So the next new place, you go and start this process all over again. And you should sort of get used to that. And actually, you know, especially in the years when later, like 10th grade and all, I have friends now, like, you know, I still know those friends from there because of Facebook and whatnot. But otherwise, the earlier ones, I have no clue about. But it did help. You know, I'm just thinking, going to a new place, making new friends, and then leaving them. It must have been tough for me because now when I think about it, that's like very sad. But at that point of time, it was just like go with the flow because you're going to a new place, you're excited, picking up new friends and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know what, though? I think about that every time I do a new like theater project, because like you go, you spend 6 months with these people, you're with them. I did stage management for a long time. So like I'd be with them, they're rehearsing this play. I'm with them during the performances, you know, helping them along. We spend time together. And then, you know, then all of a sudden it's over. And we never see each other again. I mean, I can't tell you the number of people who I like had like really deep, intense relationships with, like, you know, because I did summer theater at a couple of like summer festivals where it was like, you know, the whole summer, that's 3 months I'm spending with people for a couple of years, you know. Do I talk to any of them now? No. Occasionally, I'm friends with them on Facebook. And also trying to be friends with them on Facebook because a couple of them are famous. And I'm like, we were friends, remember? But you got to keep in touch, you know, you got to write those letters. And I did not. So I don't know. I feel like there's something about, you know, moving on, having the ability to move from, you know, even like creative scene to creative scene. Like every project ends, right? So you got to just finish it. You know, you did your 11 episodes on the television series. You're like, great. Thanks, guys. That's a wrap. We did it. Done. You try to do something else, but then you just move on to the next project.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So when you're a kid at that point of time, it's I don't think it matters so much because the next thing is always exciting, right? Because you're a kid. Yeah. Because you're curious and you actually want to make new friends. You're going to a new place. How it's going to be? What is that school? And I don't think it matters at all. Right now, you know, in terms of maybe if I did something like that, I might overthink about it. Like, oh my God, what the hell is happening? But at that point of time, I'm sure I did. You know, because it was just so natural for us to know everything for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's crazy times though.
Also, the other thing about us talking about like ourselves and our past is like we can only know so much about like our own like emotional state at that point, right? Like unless there was a big something that happened that you like remember the event of, you're like, yeah, I guess I was fine. It's like, yeah, you had ups and downs. You were a human being. You liked stuff. You didn't like stuff. Maybe you didn't like moving all the time, but turns out that the skill developed from moving all the time is helpful. Just the adaptability of being able to go into a room of strangers and be like, hello, I am a stranger as well. How are you? let's be friends now, you know, and that's helpful, at least in improv for sure. But so tell me, so you did not do, after this television series, you really didn't do any more acting at this point, right? You just went back into school, you got involved with studies, college and everything like that.
Yeah, so there were a couple of instances where I was there in the school plays. So our school, as far as I remember, did not have a big theater or drama club sort of a thing.
Sure.
And the school plays were being specifically done for the annual day celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was there in a couple of those plays. But yeah, apart from that, there was no other sort of instance of acting at all. So it was, you know, it was like, it just, yeah, I just moved on from that and became as normal as possible.
Yeah, as normal as possible. Well, you know, we try.
Yeah. And until a few years before here in Bangalore, when I actually pursued going to theater workshops, because I felt that chapter was not closed for me. And I had sort of liked it, you know, so I started pursuing, I went for these theater workshops that were there every weekend. And that sort of ignited more curiosity again. Although there was a lot of stage management, everything included, and I was not having as much fun as I thought I would. So I didn't pursue that because I, in my mind, how it was that I just need to act and everything else gets taken care of, but theater is not that. You're part of an ensemble and, you know, the roles change and you need to do other stuff as well because you're a theater group. So I was not exactly with that at all. And I just left it.
When was this that you were doing these theater workshops? Like, how old are you at this point?
Oh, yeah, just a few years back. Just maybe 4 years back.
Oh, so like mid-30s.
Yeah, something of that sort.
Right on. So that's what, so you got back into it. What was it that you have like a, pardon the phrase, regular job. So you like work wherever you work, you're doing that. You went to school, you know, you got a degree, I assume. Work at a job, everything's great. Things are, you know, you're living your life. You're an adult now. What's the thing that happened that you mentioned, you know, I felt like that chapter, but like, what was it that like inspired you to look for theater workshops? Like, or did you, or did somebody like at work say, hey man, do you know that they were offering theater workshops? And then, you know, you got involved. No. What happened?
No. So this, I specifically remember in terms of, so with the work that I do, so I'm an engineer, you know, and most of the work is structured, you know, rule-based and, you know, so that, and at some point of time, I was actually looking for a let out, you know, because although I had not pursued any sort of performance, I don't know, it was probably there within me. And that's the reason I wanted to try. At that point of time, it was more of a creative outlet than anything else because I didn't know where that's going to go or what. So that's how I ended up pursuing. They're very called Yours Truly Theater. And many of our improv folks in Bangalore have actually, you know, been associated with some of workshops or something from there.
So it was just sort of like, I need to relax. My job, you know, is wild. I need to like do something fun. Did you go to like meet people too? Because I know like a lot of people that I've taught improv to were like, I just wanted to make some friends and it's hard to make adult friends. And I was like, it is hard to make adult friends. So then improv classes are helpful that way.
Not for the theater bit. Because I was in my job, you know, so this was purely about having that creative expression because that was almost zero in the work that I was doing because it was so structured and stuff. And it was almost as if it was beginning to disturb me a little bit because I knew that I wanted to be more playful and be more creative and you know, experience those parts as well. And that was the intent, really, just to move away from this and have a hobby or something of that sort. Yeah. So that's why as soon as I saw that there are some, I wouldn't say rules as such, but the way it's, the way the thing is set up is you need to do this extra stuff as well. I just backed out because I was like, I'm doing, I wouldn't say similar stuff, but I'm doing this structured work. I need to play and be free. I'll not do any statement.
Yeah.
I'm not going to think of lightning or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it can be hard. The trouble with, you know, theater, any theater, improv as well, you know, you get involved in any management or administrative work and all of a sudden it's like an office job and you're like, wait, no, yeah. I don't want to. I wanted to play. I don't want to be part of this kind of thing. I love that kind of stuff, but that's just because I think that's my jam. But yeah, I hear you. So when the theater workshop didn't work out, did you immediately seek improv for, you know, just to take classes? How did you get into it?
No. So in the improv is like, you know, fairly nascent here.
Yeah.
So the ICB itself is like just 5 years old or so. And in India itself is like mostly nascent because I think Mumbai is having a more, you know, probably a 10-year-old history, of improv, you know, but we here it was less, and there was no way, since it's not like in your face or, you know, you don't have theaters doing it. There's no way to even know what is improv. Literally. Right. You know, and so what, but apart from this, what I also, you know, in terms of creative pursuits, I still love music. So I used to learn Indian classical music and attend tons of concerts because I just loved it. And even now I learn tabla, which is a percussion instrument. So I do that as well. You know, so I was always busy in terms of going to concerts and talking to people and, you know, being in that art space somehow. So I didn't pursue improv as such. What happened was a couple of years back, I was looking at, you know, like normally what you do over this weekend, let's do some fun stuff over the weekend or something of that sort. Then I saw this ICB's ad for a intro to improv workshop. And I think the ad, they had used unscripted as a word. And that intrigued me because I didn't know what that was at all. So I ended up going to that workshop and loving it a lot. And it was like a very basic stuff, like, you know, yes ending and stuff, but it was just too much of fun. That happened early 2019. And then what I did is, you know, I didn't know other ways to connect. So what I did is I was just going to jams of ICB. So they used to have once a month or twice a month jams, like, you know, physical, seems way back, jams. And I used to just attend them and be awestruck with what's happening in front of me. And I was like, I want to do that. or at least try that. You know, and that's how I sort of got connected with ICB and became a part of their,
It's really interesting. You know, the comparison you're making between like your structured work environment and how you just needed this release. And so to find this art form that was literally built on the idea of a lack of structure, it's like exactly the sort of the yin and yang of, you know, what you needed to have in the world, right? Because even though your job is really structured, there has to be a certain level of creativity to it, not like creativity like arts, but, you know, creativity like I'm using this part of my brain to create this situation versus this other part, the unstructured, like wild party part. That's what you needed to exercise and got in for improv. I kind of like the idea that it was just like just jams, though, because that's jams are wild places. You know, you don't, when you take a class or when you get with a troupe, like it's the same people, you're like getting to know them. With a jam, it's like, who's here? what's going to happen tonight, you know, because it's like, oh, it's the guy that yells about everything. Oh, great. He's here. Yeah. Or like the girl who's always a cupcake. Why is she always a cupcake? I don't know. I like it. It's fine. You know, like whatever, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so also one thing that happened with the jams. So the way it was structured is that for the first half an hour, they used to literally get people who are not experienced in improv or having less experience and used to have this normal jam, like how we have these Zoom jams. And the second part, the second half hour, was actually a show or a new format by the ICB main cast. So you would have Nasir or Bala or Lakshmi and all these people try something different, either musical improv or something. And so the fun that you had with the jams, but also you're an audience member for the other show as well. And that also sort of intrigues you because it's these people who are so talented. They're just amazingly talented, by the way. Then they do just some super fun stuff. You're like, wow, is this even possible? How do they know that they have to sing at that exact point? Or how do they know that this is what the other person said? And it was so in my face. And it was like, wow, this as an art form is like really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what is happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you see people that are great at it, for sure. Like, when you watch a show and people are super tuned to each other and they can just, like you're right, when they're like, how did they both sing at the same time? How is it possible that they knew that was what they were going to say? They're making it up. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. No, musical improv is one of the wildest things, even though, music has its own, like, patterns and rhythms. So it's, like, easy to, like, look really, like, you're like, oh, my God, look at how amazing I am. But it's, like, they did just say the same three things over and over. Yeah. I mean, but you're like, oh my God, what a great song. There were three words, guys. Mm. Like that's, but you know, it's great. Music has that extra, you know, little bit to it to like, you know, you can put anything in a song and you're like, this is a great, I love it. It's got a good beat. And you're like, are you listening to the words? You're like, hold on. Oh goodness. So, you know, cause you're like, you get swept away in the, like in the vibe of the music, you get into it. You're like, look at them. They're so great. Man, must be wonderful to like have such a nice sort of like, group that are sort of the, I'm not going to say elders because that's like a weird thing, but you know, like the leaders of the community, people who are like performing and like showing you, hey, we're going to try something new. That's pretty brave. Absolutely. And great.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So at that point of time, I didn't realize, but now with like more experience in improv, especially online improv, because now we're getting exposed, at least from India, we're getting exposed to so many things, improv things around the world. Now I realize what actually a good job those people were doing when they're doing their show, because it's just not a two-person scene or something like that. It's just they were actually experimenting, for the standard of improv that India has. And that's actually really brave of the group. And I totally agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's so cool that improv is both, you know, stuff you can totally just try to do different things. You can, you just take it, the beauty of the lack of structure too, is like, you just put a tiny bit of structure on it and it makes one crazy show. And then you change it a little bit and it's a totally different show. And you're like, but how did they, you know, and it's just like a little twist. Like you said, like they try this thing or they try that thing. It's like, okay, this time we're all going to be ladies in a diner. It's like, okay, this time we're all going to be sisters who are very young, like whatever. And it like changes the vibe of what happens, you know? And, yeah, it's so fun. So we were talking earlier, about like, so you're in, so you've been learning improv through doing these jams, through, you know, working with the ICB as far as like being involved in some of their shows and learning and performing. What for you is the comedy bent? Like, what's your vibe on how, especially now that you, like I, have been exposed to these other global like styles of improv, how does your style, the style that you've been sort of brought up in these past couple of years, how does that feel for you? Like, what's the setup?
So since improv is, so the reason I think the comedy bit is that, Nasir, who sort of co-founded ICP, rather not sort of, but he co-founded ICP with other people, he had come in from Bombay. Like, he was a part of Improv Comedy Mumbai.
Mm.
So I'm just wondering if that was just a name transfer. But in general, what I also feel is when you're starting off and when you actually need an audience, it's so tough to do just long form and expect people to just understand it. So I think by default, it sort of gets into a lot of short form games. And the way all these games are constructed are based on find the fun, you know, find the game or, you know, whatever it is. So that's the reason the comedy aspect is high. So apart from this, there's also, one improv troupe that we know of that has much more, more popular people in terms of actually actors and stuff who do improv, right? You know, theater actors or film actors and radio personalities. All these people come and they have an improv troupe called, I think it's called The Improv or something like that. And they do their shows. And that, so when you see that, you know that it's purely entertainment. Especially now that you know a little bit of improv, you can almost predict what's the next gag. That's how it is. That's how it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that is the way the audience is coming. Otherwise, it's, I'm not sure if you do an improvised Shakespeare, some people are going to come and see that now in India at least.
Yeah.
Or if you do any other Harold long form, you know. So that's the reason it's probably called improv comedy. And we, at least what we used to do, just before the pandemic, I was a part of the beginners cast, and we used to do a lot of theater sports and other short form stuff, basically. And we used to perform like twice a month of sorts, and there's almost twice a week for that, and do a lot of these short form structured things. Theater sports and whatever we saw on Whose Line, like Helping Hands and all those games and the guessing games and all that stuff. So all that we did, there was no inclination. I didn't even know that you could do long form, by the way, before the this thing started, the pandemic started. But luckily what had happened is when we were, so one good thing is Jonathan Pitts visited us twice during his world tour. And gave workshops. I think the first time was in 2018, which I wasn't part of the ICP then. And again in 2019, and I attended it. And that was the first time I actually felt that how serious a profession it can be. Because, I just didn't have any inclination about that. Like, wow, this person has made a career out of this. Firstly, how good is that? That he's having that opportunity. Secondly, how good is he to be doing that in improv, right? So that was intriguing. I didn't know before that all these things could happen. And that's why the pandemic in that sense was a game changer, because now, I take workshops with the Dave Rezorskis, the Jonathan Pitts and Miles Stroth and whoever. And these are great, great names whom I probably would have never met otherwise.
Yeah, it is pretty great that there is like just sort of this widespread, information coming around in the improv community. Like, I think that everywhere in every country was kind of doing their own thing for a long time. And now the mix and mingle is not just the people who happen to travel, but now it's everybody. Like, people from their homes can talk to each other and do workshops. I was just about to ask you what kind of workshops that you had taken, but you mentioned it, idea that you were able to connect with, and talk to these people and then like, oh, hey, I'd love to take a class in this totally different style of improv from you. That's amazing. It's so great that the opportunity was there and that you took it. What workshops were your favorite?
Yeah. So So there has been a sort of a gradual shift in the past 1.5 years. So firstly, my workshops were just individual workshops wherein just one skill set was being offered for 2 or 3 hours. And I used to do many of these because there were just too many things, like, you know, say some character workshop or some which said physicality, you know, or some that said how to use silence or something like that. Then what I started understanding is that I need much more, you know, like I need to be the same teacher for much more time because 2 or 3 hours is not enough. And that's when I started doing these courses with all these, you know, various teachers. Like, so I started off with doing a scene work with Queen City Comedy. So Mandy Butler was our teacher there. She was just fantastic, absolutely fantastic. That was my first coaching into scene work. You know, that I think that was for 6 weeks. And that sort of transformed the way I thought about scene work because I was, you know, I didn't know the nuances till that point. Although we could see it on screen, but we need to understand it as well, you know, those nuances. But yeah, that was cool. And after that, so I did a, and I love this. With Stephen Davidson, I did a viewpoints course, and he's just brilliant. I mean, oh, wow. I did this viewpoints course with Stephen Davidson, and that was slow burn sort of improv, like emotionally grounded, and I liked that stuff a lot because probably that's how I am, really. I'm not sort of exaggerated, and, you know, I don't do that. Yeah, so I started taking such workshops. In fact, now, I think in July, mid-July, probably I'm going to do the second part of that viewpoints course with him. Yeah, because I love his teaching well. And also I did this, at some point of time, I did a Dave Rozowski course on his, so that was also on his, no, that was not viewpoints, that was points of view. So that's what he talks about, Dave Rozowski. So that happened with the nursery a few months back. And that was also, oh, wow. I couldn't believe that I was doing a course with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mainly my shift has been, initially it was just bits and pieces of information in terms of workshops to these longer courses that, so most of these courses at the crux of it talk about authenticity, emotional connect, relationships, you know, that's been the threat of many of these workshops, you know, and I've gravitated towards that for whatever reason. And last couple of weeks before, I finished my course with Carla at Queen City Comedy, wherein she was teaching acting for improvisers. And that was also, it sort of blew my mind off, where we were just doing monologues and stuff. And somehow I feel that I'm getting into the craft bit of it now more with doing all these courses. I'm getting to understand much more what gets into a scene and what can be, what improv can actually also be other than just short form games.
Yeah. Yeah. You're liking the deep dive into the emotional seriousness, huh? That's pretty great.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm wired that way, so I just do that. Yeah.
No, I like that. I like that you say that you're wired that way too, because I wonder, you know, you were in television and filming when you were younger. Like, I'd be fascinated, you know, in the coming years to hear if you were in like a dramatic movie or something like that. Like, that'd be super fun, you know, like,
yeah, I would love it.
Yeah, that'd be super good. And the work that you're doing now is so the groundwork for sort of these serious acting stuff. And the other part is that, like, you're right about the sort of like newer vibe in Bangalore for comedy and for improv. Improv is new everywhere, but it's like just making its way in different ways to different places. But I like the idea that now, you know, you are learning all these things that are, you know, more serious, more like dramatic situations. Like, you could bring that and teach a course yourself to the ICB community and then have some troupe that's an offshoot where you guys are doing serious stuff. I mean, Plus, there's so many, once, like I said, once the world opens up again, you know, there'll be so many people from Europe that'll come to do workshops. And Europe is a lot of serious, dramatic, slow improv. Like, there's a lot of that there. And so it's the idea of, you know, you're like, you're going to be so primed. They're going to be like, this guy, look at this guy. He knows. He's so serious. He's smoldering over there. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, it's, I love that you found, you know, a path that you're like interested to follow, and you're like, you know, going into taking these workshops, even so far as to say that you're about to take like the second, you know, level of workshops with Stephen Davidson. Like, that's great. You're like getting involved. You've taken a couple of courses at Queen City Improv, so you're like connected with this like community and stuff like that. Like, that's really so awesome that you had that. I mean, when you and I did the show, you connected me. It was so funny because you were like, hey, you want to do this ICB thing? And I was like, great. And then it was a festival in Las Vegas. And I was like, what? This is so funny. Like, I knew it and I got it. But it was like, when I read the whole thing and kind of put it together in my mind, I was like, what a funny mix of things. Like, I love that I from Texas am representing Bangalore in Vegas. Like, what? But I loved it. I was so happy to be part of it. And, you know, what a fun connection that we even had, you know? I mean, even before this conversation, and this has been great. I really appreciate you chatting with me. But, like, even before this, like, we've just chatted, like, online about improv and, like, about our lives and stuff. And it's like, how did we, we're two random strangers, but we've, like, met through this, like, amazing worldwide improv community. And, oh man, I just love that you're taking all these classes and stuff. I mean, so for you, so the thing that I'd love to close with our interview is to chat about, like, you're talking about the things that you're taking, the classes that you've been taking, and how, you know, it's gotten a little bit more serious. You really like that kind of stuff. What's the thing that, you know, you've sort of been creatively thinking about? What's your jam right now? What's the thing that's exciting you, that's like getting the wheels turning for you?
Oh, yeah. That's a cool question. You know, so one thing that, a lot of things, but a couple of things that really intrigued me with this global sort of improv explosion that happened is that the sense of community and community building is immense. You know, we get to learn a lot from the Nursery and Queen City Comedy and Black Improv Alliance and all these other great folks as to how to create the communities. And not only these folks, Third World Improv in Singapore, Philippines. Oh, wow. They're also brilliant. They're having a community of close to, I guess, 1,000 students or something like that or whatever. So that is one aspect. Second aspect is of boundaries, safety, safe spaces, which we had. We knew it somewhere at the back of our mind that such things should exist, but making that conversation live, especially in at the start of every class or at the end of the class or once whenever, that is one more thing that I learned. But my more important thing that intrigued me the most is to try and get to use improv in an applied improv sense, because I think how it has helped me the most is to learn more about myself at the very least. You know, so I'm able to figure out my biases. I'm able to figure out if I'm getting stuck at a place, if I'm not getting a particular skill right, why might that be? Because it might be a mental block, X, Y, Z. So I'm able to learn that, that it's, you know, also helping my life off improv. Like, doing improv helps outside of improv as well. And I'm intrigued by how it can be applied to such scenarios. I know that in Canada and all, improv is really famous and popular high schools as well. Like, and that is something that's on the back of my mind, is to try and do something in that space for India, because I think it'll actually help kids a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So that's where my, you know, it's not even a goal or something, but it's just the thought process that I have that, you know, should be done.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a great idea. I really enjoy that. And I even just to think of improv in that sort of therapeutic sense, this like, this is a space in which you are going to explore your own self and you're going to learn about the way you act and the way you feel. You know, to that end, one of the things that has really helped me as far as like getting to know myself was, I would teach my level one class, right? And I would teach them emotions. And when I teach people emotions, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not an actor. I don't know how to do stuff. Okay, great. Don't worry. Everyone knows how to do it because you've done it in real life, right? So I would make them all turn away from each other and do say out loud little like monologues that focused on a certain emotion, right? And then we'd turn around and we'd talk all at once. So nobody can hear anybody else. You're just in your own thing because everyone's talking at once. And then at the end, we turn around and we're like, okay, how do you feel in your body right now? Like when you're excited. So it's like, and I would give them a scenario to do their monologues. Like it'd be like, okay, you just got asked to be the lead in a new television show and you're going to be the person who is like the funniest and everyone's, you're going to have the best lines and you're going to look great. Okay, do a monologue about how excited you are for that. So then you'd be like, oh my God, you know, and then you come back and I'm like, where do you feel it in your body? And for me, I'd be like, oh, I can feel it in my jaw. My excitement is right here, right? Oh, or in my shoulders. That's where it is, right? Great. That is how she experiences joy, right? When you see her tense in her jaw and use those shoulders and give you a big smile, she's expressing that her character is excited, right? And they're like, oh, okay. And then we'd do a sad one and we'd come back, or like angry. So personally, from my own journey, I taught this class so many times that I'm doing the monologues too, because I always do it. And I say, do it louder than them so that if they don't know what to say, they can just listen to me and then kind of attach emotions to it, right? So I would do it every time. Based on that, I come back, I tell them where physically in my body I'm feeling the emotion as well. And then later, in my actual human life, turned out that I was able to identify a moment when I got angry about something, right? When I realized, okay, well, you're angry. I know that because I can feel it in the parts of my body I know are my anger spots. So you probably shouldn't say anything to this person right now, right? You know, things where it's like, I didn't know how I processed anger until I was teaching other people. Then I physically understood it and was able to, in real life, avoid getting into a fight with somebody by being like, ooh, whatever I say is not going to be pleasant. So I'm going to not do it, right? Like I feel anger and that anger is not going to allow me to be great to this lady right now. So hang back, you know? You know, so it's just like you are able to learn whatever you need out of improv is, you know, what you can take from it. I mean, I apparently needed to know my emotions such that this exercise, which, I mean, I'm telling you, I definitely did it hundreds of times. I mean, for sure, for sure. Did I get the lesson right away? No, I did not. But later, as I was doing it for the 40 millionth time, I'm like talking to them. Oh, when I'm angry, it does this. And I'm like, saved me on a few fights with my husband, I'll tell you. So, yeah, but you know, improv is so great, cool. You know? Yeah,
absolutely.
It can be therapeutic. Absolutely. It can be help you find out more about yourself. I like when you said it helped me acknowledge my biases. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if you don't want to admit them, you know, like people are like, well, I don't want other people to talk about it. You don't have to talk about it. All of us do a scene. Somebody says something to you and you have to react. You also have the voice in your head that's like telling you a few options of things to react with, right? And if one of those reactions is like, what was that thought that I had, right? You can examine it in yourself without being like, hey, everyone, remember that scene we did about how we were chipmunks? Well, before I chose that we were chipmunks, I was almost going to do this terrible thing. No, you're not going to tell everyone that, right? But you can go home and be like, gosh, why was that in my head? Like, what am I thinking about? Like, how is this, you know? Because, and there's nothing wrong with it. We all have crazy thoughts. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell you when I go down like a wild rabbit hole and then I'm like, oh, wow. All right. Take it back. You know, especially now that I have a child, like now that I have a child, my imagination is a terrible place because like, oh, I'm always imagining terrible things. I'm like, what's that sound? Does he have a knife? Like, Amy, your four-year-old is fine. Like, there's nothing going on. He's all right, you know? But I'm always like, I imagine crazy scenarios because my imagination is amazingly tuned, right? Yeah, oh, absolutely. My goodness. Yeah, I like it. From your point of view, were there any things that you've learned about yourself that you care to share from improvising that have, like, you know, helped you at work or helped you in your life?
So I, for whatever strange reason, I by default play low status characters.
And, sure.
And playing high status. Even if I start playing, so I was having a conversation about this with Ari as well from Oslo, Implonif. So even if I start playing high status, I just go down to low status. That's like, seems to be a zone of, like a comfort zone. And I was thinking about it, and I am like that in also a corporate scenario, because you just listen to people. And I didn't realize that until it happened through improv. So such things, you know, it might not be this major sort of revelations or whatever, life-changing stuff, but it's these subtle things that if you are able to understand and be self-aware, it will actually end up helping you a lot.
Totally.
The next time you're in low status, if you're able to, as you said, if you're able to be just aware of that, and you might say, why should I be low status? For no apparent reason. Let me be neutral and then take a call.
Yeah. Or like in a job scenario, it's like, is it helpful for me to be low status right now? Mm-hmm. Or do I need to be high status? Because at this moment, I'm like, you know, asking for a raise or going to tell them like, hey, guys, I think we need to do this differently, or whatever way that, like, when you go to your boss to be high status, like, sometimes you have to. Right. So, yeah, it's interesting to recognize that. Cool. That's a good one. Thanks for sharing that one. No, I appreciate that. It's like an interesting lesson about, you know, the way we look at ourselves and the way we hold ourselves. I realize stuff like that when I've been doing some writing during the pandemic, and I'm taking a writing class right now. And like, I realized certain ways that I've been writing these characters. I'm like, why are they all doing this? Like, because the characters are just sort of me in different versions of me, you know, having a conversation. So I'm like, wow, where did this situation happen, you know, in my brain? I love it. I think creativity is a wonderful thing to get involved in. And, you know, if you can explore different ways of looking at the world, like, hey, then we can all be better. And, we can seek different worlds and enjoy them. So,
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Siddharth, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been a lovely chat. I've had a wonderful time with you.
Oh, likewise. Thanks so much for having me as well, Amy.
Yeah, super great. And I hope we get to hang sometime soon. Yeah. Maybe, I'll look up all these places where you took classes, and maybe I'll try to take a class there too, and we can be on Zoom buddies, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. check out all our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network, HC Universal, at hcuniversalnetwork.com.